kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I've got a title today that we're going to look on. And we're calling our teaching today, Are You Progressing Higher with God? Are you progressing higher with God? You know, one of the challenges of the deeper life, and if you haven't got that book, I do encourage you to read it, to study it. I think we do have a few more copies available, but it's a book you will always keep by your side. And if ever you look into it, there is always something that is just so applicable for today. It, apart from the Bible itself, it has got that manner, that fresh manner in it, unlike any other book I have read. And I have read a lot of theological books, but it's a map, if you like, of our life and our walk. It's what God is doing now in the end time. And when you read those pages, you identify with it. It's like your name is there, imprinted in it. It's your experience. It's what the Spirit is saying and doing. And this is so important because the Spirit bears witness. And he witnesses to our spirit. And not only is it truth, but it's also an experience as well. You are tasting. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It means that God has a way of translating this spiritual side where it becomes our experience. We know our flesh actually partakes of it. That's the wonderful thing, you know? So I'm calling this today, Are You Progressing Higher with God? And I want to take this today from the book of Luke, Luke 14, verses 7 to 14. We'll at least look at these verses today and see whether we go further with this. But a lot of you know what this is about. It's speaking about where in our life we walk in humility and we always take that lowly place, that lowly place. And we're basing this from Luke chapter 14 and we'll take it up from verse 7 onwards. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honourable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, Give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then it goes on, Then he also said to him who invited him, When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or your relatives nor rich neighbours, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So I'm calling this today, are you progressing higher with God? Jesus is going to reveal how we conduct ourselves. And he's been invited to the home of one of the chief Pharisees. And like so often, he is anointed by the Spirit, and he seeks that opportunity in the company of people to be able to teach and to share the good news of the gospel. And he gives his hosts and guests a lesson on being etiquette. And in this, he's exposing the proud, the ambitious guests. In other words, he's revealing who also will be the greatest in the kingdom. And this is such a reminder to me how Jesus not only taught these people how to be etiquette, how to have good manners, because we tend to forget that. We tend to think that God isn't so interested in our conduct with one another, how we come over, how we treat one another, or how we conduct ourselves when invited out or to a wedding or whatever it would be. But we clearly see he's giving a lesson on manners, to be etiquette. And in this, he's exposing the proud, the ambitious, and in this case, the ambitious guest. But he's also taking it further, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? So bearing that in mind, let's just break this up and take it back again from verse 7. So he says, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, so he's very aware that they've come in and they want the best places, the places of recognition. And I'll explain this in a minute. And then he says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honourable than you be invited by him. Now, he's talking about these ancient customs. And in those days, they would set tables. And these tables would also always consist of three cushions that would be laid out. And these were called triclinums. These three cushions that were laid out, and there they could recline on them. And so each table would have three of these cushions or these tricliniums, and guests of honour would sit in the middle of the three. So you've got three of them, and in the middle, always the guest of honour would sit in the middle. And of course, what they are doing is say, well, I'm worthy of that. I'm going to sit in the middle, you see. And so it's important to understand what's going on here. And these customs, of course, this way of weddings, this way of inviting guests, was also amongst Greek culture and the Romans as well. So they would have these three cushions. They recline out on them, but the centre one was always for someone of importance or honour, and so on. It's interesting, isn't it, that in the world you find that some of the greatest people have been the most humble. And very often, even in the world, you can find that. And Jesus is practicing, he's living this. And he's very aware what's going on in front of him. He's seeing the pride, the arrogance, which is such a hindrance in the house of God. This is why God has to come so heavily on this with us, because this pride, this arrogance, it hinders our walk with God. And we've made much about this. We've exposed much about pride in this assembly over the years. And there's nothing worse than spiritual pride, because spiritual pride always believes it's right. It has that revelation, that understanding. I am more spiritual, more superior than you. And Jesus is seeing exactly what is going on here. And then it goes on in verse 9, and it says, "And he who invited you and him who come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." So what is taking place here? We're seeing that the Holy Spirit is now beginning to convict. And he's saying, you've always wanted the best place, the highest place, the best position. You want the best of everything, and so on. But God is saying, take the lowest place. He's teaching a lesson. He's showing that to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to take first the lowest place. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. That is something that I have seen over the years, that principle, how God has worked this in this church as well. And some see it. Yes, I see this. I take that lowest place because that's where I can learn. And others who are offended by that eventually either stay or they go, or they do what the Lord says. This principle that we're talking about here, this parable, has been implemented in our worship, our fellowship, in this assembly for many years, believe it or not. And we can be so blinded to these parables until God opens our eyes. But he then goes on in verse 10, "But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher,' then you will have the glory in the presence of those who sit in the table." Note what it says here, "But when you are invited, go and sit down." Has Christ not invited us? Why, surely he has. He has invited us into his presence. He's invited us into the body of Christ. He's invited us to be his friend, saviour, to walk with him. And so he is saying, in that case then, sit down in the lowest place. Why is he saying to sit down in the lowest place? Because it is the humble who are teachable. It is the humble who learn the ways of Almighty God. The proud are no good because they believe they know it. They have it. And there is the difference, you see. And so he says, sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invites you comes, he may say to you, and who invites us? Who invited us? Christ himself. He invited us and brought us in to the kingdom of God. He has purchased us at Calvary. It is the greatest invite that is ever given to man. And we can see that this invite is going out and has been going out into the world. And most decline, most say, no, I can't make it today. And then he says, well, send these invites into the highways and the byways. Those compel them to come in. And if there's anything that I'm seeing now today, I am seeing precisely that. Because this invite has been going out. But the proud, the arrogant, don't really want it because they want those high places of recognition. And you don't get it. You see, we're talking about today, are you progressing higher with God? Note the word progressing. It is a walk. It's a continuation. Are you going higher with him? Because that is a clear sign that you have taken the lowest place, you see. And so when he invites you, he comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. So God gives you recognition. This is what it's saying about here. And God has a way in which he does that. There are saints in the house of God who get that respect. It is something that happens by the Spirit. Because you see that they have taken the knocks. They have been willing to humble themselves. They're willing to clean dirty toilets or sweep the roads or clean up the mess after people. They're the people who leave the last after a meeting to make sure that everything is respectable, clean and so on. In other words, they are aware of what it takes. They are aware of the practical sides to the body of Christ. Meetings don't just happen. The Lord goes to prepare, and we each of us have our service. We have the way that we contribute toward whatever it means in which these meetings can be created. They don't just happen, you see. And so we're called to be that example. And so often we find God is practical. We want these spiritual revelations. We want to be called up into the third heaven. But none of that comes until you learn to abase yourself, that you are willing to rub your nose in the ground or to be that doormat or whatever it would be, you see. And then God will exalt you because it is the Spirit that's doing it and not yourself. I have seen in ministry and over the years, and when I used to be in the denominations, I used to see so many working at exalting themselves, placing themselves in that position because they've got the qualifications. The qualifications for an overcomer is basing yourself, abasing yourself, being humble. They are the qualifications. You see, it's completely opposite to how the world thinks, isn't it? How God moves and so on. So that's what he says, so that when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invites you comes and he says to you, friend, go higher, then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. So God says, no, you are not going to sit at the outside. You'll sit in the middle because you are worthy of it. You know, that is the right place for you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Completely the opposite how the world thinks. And this is why we have in this last generation such pride and arrogance. Our governments are infested with it. Universities are infested with it. It's everywhere. It's in our families and so on. But God calls us to do exactly the opposite. And then what does he say in verse 12? Then he who also said to him, who invited him, when you go to dinner or supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or relatives, nor rich neighbours, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. So Jesus is now turning to the host. He's already spoken to those that have been invited. So he's now got something to say to the host, the one who has arranged all of this, who has paid for all of this to happen. And he says, in the kingdom, we are all one. We have to humble ourselves, which is an attitude of heart. You know, there's an old saying, and you hear it today, and I've even heard children say it to parents. And they say that respect has to be earned. But I disagree with this, because as Christians, we are to love and respect parents. We are to love and respect family. We are to respect our employer, those who govern us, those in leadership, the police, judges, lawyers. We respect that because they have a job and a role to play. Even if they abuse you or mistreat you, the Word of God says, pray for them. We are not to come against them, to criticize them. We are to pray. And they are corrupt. We live in very corrupt times. We see things so unjust, so wrong. And it's going to get worse, friends. And yes, it is difficult to respect. It's difficult to respect those who abuse you and have misused you. But you see, we've got this idea of respect wrong. We respect them because God put them there for a purpose and a reason. And God says, judgment is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And God will put them there and he will remove them. You see? And that is how it works. That is how the principle works. And that is why it is so important that we pray, we intercede for these things that come to our knowledge. And especially now, what is happening and the corruption and so on. Because our prayers, our warfare, our intercession is going to avail much. And you know, our warfare and intercession in time removes those tyrants. You see. That is why it's so important. And so he's here addressing to the host. He says that when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or your relatives, nor the rich neighbours, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Well, what he's saying also there is that we do share together. We do sometimes invite family and things like that. But he's saying, don't make more of them. Or if there is somebody who's very well off, you know, don't make more of them. Because that's what human nature does. This is why we've got this idolatry today. People who are wealthy are elevated, or they're given peerages or whatever it is. That's not how we work. That's not how we think. And then he goes on in verse 13, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So our attitude and heart is always to invite, to help those who cannot repay. And it's the same principle how God found us. There's nothing we really can repay God. There's nothing you or I can give him. What he does want, though, he says, to trust him, to obey him, to present yourself, give yourself wholly unto him, your heart. That is the only way we can give back. But it's not really giving back in regard to what he has given us. So here is this principle that he's giving out here. And he says, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. And there is something, there's such a blessing that comes when you are able to help someone who in no way can pay back, can't give back to you. There is a great blessing in that, because you are in a little way identifying with our Father's heart, how he first loved us. You know, these great profound teachings and parables that Jesus gives here are so deep. They're so profound. There's so much that is in them. You know, when you open them up like this, and he says, and you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And in many ways, what he's saying is, it's really God's supper here. This is God. He's the host. He's invited us. So what can we pay him? What can we give him back? Nothing. We can't repay the debt that he has provided for us at Calvary. So therefore, we take that heart, that spirit, that attitude, that humility, and we minister that one to another in the house of God. We minister that to those we meet outside and to our enemies as well. And I know some of you are really have been tried and tested on that one, as we heard today. But you shared the Father's heart, even though it is rejected. You have done what is right before Almighty God. And that's what we do. And as I bring this to a conclusion, God has invited us to the marriage feast. And we know this. And there's going to be that marriage feast in heaven. And it's going to be a grand, glorious day. And I can't wait for it. And what is that revealing to us? It's revealing he's now brought us to a higher place and position. Hallelujah, with God. And what is that? It's escaping judgment. He's now said, no, you will sit in the middle of those three cushions. You're invited to the marriage feast. And I'm reminded through the Bible how God elevates and takes higher saints. And very often, when you see this elevating, this taking them up higher, it's often out of judgment. Let's remind ourselves, I'm reminded of Noah, who built the ark and mourned for 120 years. And what was God doing? Well, he was humbling himself. He was looking ridiculous and all that. But God took him higher in that ark. And God will always bless with family and take them higher as well by your faith, your prayers. And so they rose above the judgment of that time. There's an analogy. And then Moses, God took Moses high. He took him up onto Mount Sinai. And there he met with God face to face. Again, it's elevating, it's going higher with God and so on. And then I'm reminded of the story of Abraham and Lot, his family, where Abraham intercedes for them. And they go down, it says, into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know the story where the angels go down there and warn them. And in the end, they have to pull them away. Where are they pulling them? They're taking them up into the mountains, away. Again, it's going up, away from judgment. And then what about Jesus himself? Jesus placed on the cross, and God raises him up above judgment. Because judgment couldn't hold him. Sin could not hold him. He was that spotless sacrifice, that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There it is again, being taken up to a higher level with God. And I want to leave you with this last encouragement. You know this well in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. God's promise to the Philadelphian church. And here is this raising up again. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon you and the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So he speaks of the whole world. The judgment's going to come. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he's saying quite clearly, keep my commands. In other words, keep the word. Keep what I've given to you. And I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. There again is a type of being taken up higher with God. He's all the while working with us, taking us higher and higher with him. And that is always the sign we should be looking for. That's what should be happening both individually and corporately with us. That I'm aware experientially God's taking me higher with him. And that's only going to happen when we abase ourselves. And it is for the purpose of the next great event, the rapture, the snatching away of the saints. Again, taken up higher. And this time into the very presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Are you progressing higher with God? That is the question we've raised today. And our Lord gives a very simple teaching in Luke 14, the basis, the key, the root to it all. Amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, our Father.